As we prepare our hearts to worship, would you hear these words from Isaiah chapter 6? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Would you pray with me? Living God, we're not inside a building this morning, and yet we are in your presence, your holy temple, just the same. Because all of who you are fills this very space as your people gather to worship. This morning, would you give us eyes to see your glory as it spreads out before us? Would you give us hearts humble like Isaiah's to repent of all the ways we go our own way? And would you give us the faith and the courage once again today to say, "Oh Lord, here I am. Send me, mold me, make me, change me, fill me, restore me. Here I am." God, we have shown up this morning most of all for you. And we know you're here for us. So may this next hour together be beautiful in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting in Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you." And then verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, "Here I am, for you called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Lie down again." This happened three times. Then Eli perceived the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." And then to the New Testament, Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, can you guess? "Here I am, Lord." Then the Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we ask for your spirit to help us. Help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you can help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you can help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We join the words of your servant Samuel. "Here we are, O Lord. Speak, for your children are listening." We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about how many times you get called on in a day? Emails that need an immediate response. Facebook messages, text messages that you get asking a question or a favor, a spouse or a friend wanting your opinion on something. Those of you with children, you can't possibly count. Your number skyrockets. Your entire life, I got it in just 3 days of VBS. Your entire life is described perfectly by Stewie on The Family Guy. He stands by his mom. She's in this blank stare. "Mom, mom, 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 mommy, 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 mama, mama, mom, mom, mom. What? What?" And then all of us have these phones stuck to our hips all the time. And those calls, they just keep coming. And every time it rings, we all have a decision to make. Look at it or don't. Dismiss it, answer it, respond, ignore. By the end of the day, we have all encountered more calls for our time and our help and our thoughts than we can possibly count. We get called out, meaning, in this case, burned out by being called on. And so, what are we to do then with a God who just keeps calling on us? Because he does. He does. We spent the first 3 months of this year just digging into who God is. If you remember that, it feels like ages ago. But week by week, we looked at the character of God, the names of God. Who is our God? Because we can't know anything else if we don't know who our God is. And then we spent the last 3 months digging into then who are we really? As his creation, as his children, Christ in us, what is our real identity? Who are we? And now we get to shift, and I'm so excited for these next months together, because now we're going to pull these two things together. Who is God and who are we? With the big question, so what is our unique work to do? And knowing who God is and knowing who I am, what is my calling on this earth? And you know, just the question alone assumes there is a calling. That there is something that God actually wants you and me to do around here. And so for 3 months, we're going to uncover this calling week by week, and it's going to be exciting. But before we do that, we first got to get a framework for what we are even to do with this God who calls. Because he does. Throughout the entire Old Testament, you start to see that every single time God is ready to do something significant on this earth, he calls up some of his people to step up and to join him. And when God calls throughout the entire Old Testament, his faithful ones, they keep stepping up and they always give the same response over and over again. It's perhaps the most important word in the entire Hebrew Bible. It's perhaps the most sacred word, the most powerful word that could ever be uttered from the lips of a human to the living God. The word is Hanani. Hope the kids heard that. Hanani. The translation, here I am. Here I am. God calls and his children respond, Hanani, here I am. Genesis 22, Abraham, Abraham, Hanani, here I am, God. God asked him to sacrifice his beloved son. And Abraham moves in obedience. And when he finally raises that knife again, Abraham, Abraham, Hanani. Even after the road has gotten really hard, even after the request seems too much to bear, still there's Abraham saying, here I am, Lord, fully in, fully yours. And from that one response, Hanani, God doesn't take his son away, but he instead births this whole new nation through Abraham. And this will be a nation that will reveal God's heart to the entire earth. From one man's Hanani, here I am, Lord. God's nation is born. Exodus 3, Moses is out walking in the wilderness one day, and he sees that bush that's burning but not being consumed. And he turns toward it to check it out a little more, and then he hears that voice, Moses, Moses. He takes off his shoes because he knows he's standing on holy ground, and then Moses dares to say it. Hanani, here I am. And that was all God needed to tell Moses the plan. Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to demand that my people who are in captivity are set free. And at that, Moses begins to stutter and to stammer. That's not what I had in mind when I said, Hanani, God, I don't know about that. Pushes him out of his comfort zone in an instant. But Moses said it. He said, Hanani, here I am. And when he said it, he meant it. And so off to Pharaoh he went, and an entire nation was delivered from 400 years of slavery, set free, all because one guy dared to stand in the presence of the living God and say, Hanani, here I am. 1 Samuel 3, the boy Samuel is sleeping in the temple right by the ark that holds God's presence. Three times he hears his name, Samuel, Samuel. And three times he runs to the priest thinking Eli was calling him, says, Hanani, here I am. And finally the priest realizes that maybe it's God who's talking in the temple. And he says, oh, Samuel, if you hear it again, respond to your God. The fourth time, Samuel, Samuel, Hanani. Here I am. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. And from there, God gave this boy words that it said none had heard in years. A people who hadn't heard the voice of God in decades started hearing from God again because one little boy among them dared to say, "Hineni, here I am, Lord. Speak if you want to. Here I am." In Isaiah 6, what we heard at the beginning of worship today, Israel has moved far away from God's heart. They're right on the brink of being sent into exile. And Isaiah has this vision. And in this vision, the Lord is seated on the throne and the train of his robe is filling the temple. His glory is consuming all of the earth. And Isaiah hears God himself cry out, "Who will I send? Who will go for me? Who will turn things around for me?" And Isaiah takes the bait. He dares to say it. "Hineni, here I am, Lord. Send me." And with that, he gets in deep with God. He gives an entire nation a chance to turn its heart back to God's heart, all because one guy dared to surrender his own life to God and say, "Hineni, wherever you want to send me, whatever you want me to do, oh God, here I am." And then in the New Testament, Acts 9, Saul, the man who had been killing Christians, encountered Jesus and became a Christian himself. And this guy Ananias is praying one day and he hears that voice that calls us out, "Ananias, Ananias, here I am." Oh, good, Ananias, because you see, there's this guy named Saul. Go tell him about Jesus. "But God, he kills people like me." "Ananias, Ananias, here I am. So I will go even to my feared enemy." And with that, the greatest missionary ever known to this earth, the author of most of the New Testament, the reason probably any of us are here today, came to faith, all because one man dared to say, "Here I am, Lord. I will go even to him." You see, from Genesis to Acts, God calls his people. From the early church to this one, God calls us. Have you heard it? Have you heard it? When he calls your name, do you hear it? And notice I didn't say if he calls your name, but when he calls your name, because he calls your name. When he does it, do you hear it? God is calling. Do you hear it? A couple of things that might help us hear it more. Notice where all these guys are when they hear their name called from above. Abraham, he is actively walking with God. He's heading up that mountain with his boy. If you are on the road of faithfulness, you will hear when God calls. Notice Moses, he takes the time to step aside and notice something unusual. If you're living with some margins in your life, not just giving in to the busy race, not so maxed out that you can hardly bother to stop for a moment when that divine tug gets at you, then you will hear the voice of God when he calls. Conversely, if you're running and running and barely even coming up to breathe, and just too stressed to ever put the brakes on the rat race of life, then I tell you, my friends, 1,000 times over, you will blow right by the voice of God when he calls. We can't hear it in the frenzy. His voice is heard in those slower, quieter places. Make room for them. It is a choice. Samuel hears God's voice as he's making his bed in the temple, hanging out literally in God's presence. In worship and drawing near to God's heart, you will be right where he needs you to be when he is ready to call. Isaiah and Ananias both heard God's call in a moment of prayer. As they turned their attention to God, God turned his voice to them. Do you hear God's call? Walk with him. Free your life up from the clutter that pushes him out. Draw near to him in worship. Turn to him in prayer. He will speak and you will hear. He is calling. But you can't respond if you don't even hear it. Have you heard it? What's the most recent thing that God has called you to do? If it hasn't been for 10 years, what's wrong? What's happening? What's the most recent thing that God's called you to do? When's the last time you heard him call your name? He's calling you. He is. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? When he does call, the response that God's heart longs to hear from his children is simply this. Do you know it yet? Oh, the kids are so much better than the grown-ups. Hanani, Hanani, here I am, Lord. Jamie, here I am, Lord. All ears, all hearts, all yours. Speak, Lord, here I am. The Father is calling your name, my friends. Are you ready to stand before him and say, Hanani, here I am? Whatever it is, wherever it will take us, here I am. My friends, I don't always get it right. Far, far from it. But can I tell you this morning about the few times in my life that I have most clearly heard that call and that I have dared to respond, Hanani, here I am. As a college student, I already knew that God had called me to the mission field, and I was excited to follow him there. And when you want to be a missionary, the question that all your friends ask you is, where are you going to go? And I remember answering that question so many times over. And I'd say, I don't know. I would say, you know, I really am open to going anywhere. But for some reason, I don't think it'll be the Middle East. I'd say, my heart's just not really open to those people, that culture. But I'll go anywhere. I just don't think it's there. I went to a conference one weekend my sophomore year of college. I have no idea what it was about. I have no idea where it was, who the speaker was. All I remember is one line spoken during a 3-day long conference. And the guy speaking looked out and said, if you've ever told anyone that you don't have a heart for the Middle East and the people there, you might want to check your heart with God. And I don't even know why he said that, but I know that when he said it, it was God speaking through him to me. He uttered my exact words back to me. And I went to my little college dorm room that night, and I got on my knees by my twin-sized bed. And I said, God, I don't want to go to the Middle East, but I want to be willing to go to the Middle East if that's what you want. Hanani. Here I am. Guess where I was 6 months later? Spending the summer in Jordan and falling in love with Arab people like I never knew possible. Fast forward, my first year in seminary, I loved my years in the Middle East, go figure. So I came to seminary and said, I'm going to give my life to being a missionary in the Middle East, and it's going to be awesome. A year in, I'm sitting in a class, and clear as day, I heard the voice of God speak into my life, and he said, Jamie, I am calling you to the American church to be a pastor. And I said, God, so let's talk about this. So I've been a missionary and I liked it. I'm doing college ministry and I like it. God, I've done all these things that are good. I'll be a social worker. I can go anywhere in the world and serve you. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be fun. But Jamie, I'm calling you to be a pastor. But God, I've never preached a sermon and I like to know that I'm good at something before I do it. And God, I don't know if you've seen like churches, you know, profiles for what they want in a pastor, but I haven't seen a Baptist church that asked for a young single female recently. With zero experience. So let's just stick with the missionary thing. Jamie, I'm calling you to be a pastor, to step into something that you don't have control over, that you don't have figured out. It is my call on your life. Will you trust me? And I sat in an empty seminary classroom. All my classmates were long gone. And I said, Hineni, here I am, Lord. Send me. Fast forward 5 years later, I'm standing right up there by that cross. It's the Saturday before I'm going to preach in front of you guys that Sunday morning to see if you want me as your pastor. And I'll tell you guys, that weekend, my spirit was unsettled. I didn't know if it was going to work. I came here and it was so far from home. I'd only ever lived in big cities and bigger cities. And here I was in a place with trees surrounding me and no cell phone service. It's like, what in the world, God? I was in the Northwest. That's a lot different than the Bible Belt. And I wasn't actually quite sure you wanted me. That weekend, you didn't really overwhelm me with this sense of, oh, we're so glad you're here. It's more like, who in the world are you and why are you here? And so I stood at that cross Saturday night. And I tell you guys, I cried my eyes out. And I said, God, this is going to be hard. I said, my family is 3,000 miles away. And I don't know if they even like me. And I don't know if I like them yet. And I said, God, I don't know if I can do this. And I tell you, I got on my knees under that cross. And all I knew to say was, Hineni. But here I am, Lord. If this is it, send me. You know how the rest of that story goes. I got home from this trip and it was clear that God was doing this, and my heart just had this complete turnaround. I was excited, and I sat around a last dinner with some of my dearest friends. And it was a hard dinner because they were my dearest friends. And I said to them, I said, you know, in my life now, three times I've told God, I'll go wherever you want. And I said, and every time he makes it hard, Middle East, youth ministry, Belfair, Washington, far from family. I said, why does he always make it so hard when I say, here I am? And my friend who loves Jesus so much looked me in the eyes and he said, Jamie, do you regret any of the places he's led you thus far? I said, no way. No, I wouldn't trade any of them for the world. And as I sat at that table, I realized that I have never regretted looking at my God and saying, here I am. And I think about all the people that I've sat with them at the last moments of their life by their deathbed. And you know what I've never heard? You know what I've never heard? Anyone say, you know, I just wish I hadn't said yes to God so much. I've never heard that. Go figure. Never. Hineni. It turns out we finally find life when we stand before God and finally trust him enough to simply say, here I am. It turns out we will never regret those moments and those places he takes us. A few others who have dared to say, here I am. When I was heading to the Middle East, I heard about this man who was a missionary in Iraq, and his car was ambushed and he was killed by terrorists. Months later, his wife was interviewed by the local press and they said, are you angry at the guys who took your husband's life? And she said, oh, no one took my husband's life. My husband gave his life to Jesus years ago. He was free. No one took his life. At one point, he said, "Hanani." I watched a documentary recently on Amazon called Mully, M-U-L-L-Y. Watch it. It's about a man, a Kenyan man, who grew up as a street child in Kenya. And by just kind of the way fate would have it and luck, he became extremely wealthy and was one of the top wealth owners in the entire nation of Kenya. He had a family of five, and he was riding high on the hog, working for an oil company. He's driving home from work one day, and he heard the audible voice of God said, "Mully, I want you to never again take a paycheck and instead give the rest of your life to the street children of Kenya." He pulled over in his car on the road, and him and God wrestled for a couple hours. "God, I've got five kids. I can't go home and tell them I'm not working anymore. I've got a family to raise. Mully, I'm calling you to give the rest of your life to the street children of Kenya." The end of that night, he said, "Hanani, here I am, Lord." Never took another paycheck again. To this day, there have been thousands of street children whose lives have been changed because this guy, Mully, said, "Here I am." Earlier this week in our prayer time online, I said the tiny story about William Booth. You know William Booth, that name? He was the founder of the Salvation Army. At 16 years old, God put the poor of London on William Booth's heart. And William Booth told God at 16, "God, you can have all of William Booth that there is." Hanani. At the end of his life, he was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked about the success of the Salvation Army. And Booth said, "You know, there have been plenty of men who were much smarter than me. There have been plenty of men who are much stronger than me." He said, "If the Salvation Army has done anything good, it's only because there was a real day in my life when I looked at the living God and said, 'God, you can have all of William Booth that there is.'" Hanani. Here's the beautiful thing, my friends. When we can truly say, "First and foremost in my life, I will show up to God and his purposes for me. I will go where he sends. I will do what he asks." Then all those other calls that we get in a day, they just surrender to this first calling. And so we don't feel so pulled and so spread thin, not when our focus is on God's call above everything else. Because then everything else starts answering to that. You see, God doesn't just add another call to our already called out day. God gives us the call for our lives. A big, "Here I am, yes, Lord," to that puts everything else into place. Jesus himself said it, "Seek first my kingdom, and everything else will take care of itself." Say yes to my call first, God says. "Hanani, here I am." And the rest will take care of itself. God calls. We respond. Today, could it be Hanani? Careful, careful. Because saying so, he might send you from this parking lot to go and love your enemies. Careful if you're going to say Hanani, because leaving here, he might take you out of your comfort zone immediately. He might call you to total surrender. He might give you a word that he actually wants you to boldly share. He might take you into uncharted territory. If you're going to say it, be careful. But if you dare say Hanani, "Here I am," and if you dare mean it, it just might make you a friend of God. It just might make you a deliverer for those in captivity. It just might make you God's mouthpiece to a people who have never heard his voice. If you dare to say, Hanani, here I am, Lord, it might just make you a vessel that turns an entire nation back to God. It just might make you one who introduces the next Paul to his Redeemer. You see, it all starts when God's people get real about hearing his call and saying, Hanani, here I am. Shh. Listen. Do you hear it? Your God is calling. What do you say? Careful. Careful. Saying, Hanani, here I am, God, it's a big deal. It might change everything. It might turn your life upside down as you know it. Careful. But then again, if you dare to say it and mean it, odds are you won't regret it. So what's keeping us from saying it and meaning it? Your God is calling. What's the response? Might it be, Hanani, here I am. Lord Jesus, that's the cry of my heart today. I can't speak for my brothers and sisters, but may they speak to you where their heart is today in this moment. Thank you that you call us. Thank you that you've given our lives the one purpose they need, and that everything else falls into place under that. Thank you that you know our names and that you've got good work for us to get to join in. Open our ears and hearts to hear you and grow our faith to dare to say, here I am, O Lord, send me. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.